Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're on the third chapter of Amos, the Old Testament. And a lot of people, you know, they read through the Bible, that don't read through the Bible, have no idea what the true personality of the Lord is. They keep blaming Mother Nature for the things that are happening in different cities and towns. But this chapter tells us that if a town is destroyed, or a city, or a country is destroyed, that the Lord planned it. He was the one that planned the destruction of it. And if people are destroyed, God planned it. He does destroy people. And in this book, and throughout the entire Bible, he tells people that not only is he a God of love, but he is also a God of destruction. And he slaughters people, and he destroys cities. He said, what city is there that is destroyed that I haven't planned? All right, that right there tells you that he plans all that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, but right now let's go up to the throne of the Lord and ask him to bless this tape. And for the people, not only of the church, but of the entire world, receive the things that the true personality of the Lord, the true character of God. Because it doesn't do good to, you know, pretend about the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and things like that because they don't exist, all right? But this God is the God that really exists. All other gods are phony, fake. God doesn't like people that sin, and he didn't save you so you could go on sinning and be immune from judgment. He says he remembers the sins of people and destroys them because of it. Now, Father God, we thank and praise your holy name for your word, because it's good that you warn us. This is why you warn us in advance, to show us that if we don't do right, that you're going to destroy us. So that's the good God that tells us these things. But if we do good, we're going to go into the kingdom of heaven and spend eternity there with you. So Lord, let this cut into everyone's spirit, into the mind of their spirit, and Lord, even to where it permeates through their ignorant, stupid, carnal minds, into where the entire body is recovered, and so that it can be redeemed on the last day. Let your spirit dwell deeply in each and every one of our spirits, Lord, so that we, because your spirit is in our bodies, will be resurrected on the last day, on the day of judgment. Lord, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's start out with the King James Version, then we'll go into the commentary, and then the King James Version, and then the commentary, because a lot of people don't understand what the King James Version is saying exactly. And so I've done a commentary here on it so that you can really know what it's saying. All right, now let's go.
Chapter 3, verse 1, King James Version. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel.
See, God is speaking against people. And even his own chosen people. So if you're not one of his chosen people, and even if you are, you have to beware. Because God didn't choose you to sin. He chose you to be humble and keep his commandments. Otherwise, he's saying to his own people, and even to his own angels in the kingdom of heaven, one third of them got thrown out. And they were saved, very saved at one time. And now they're lost, and they're waiting in chains of darkness to be destroyed forever. And so are all the people that ignore God's law, his word. Then what?
Verse 1, King James Version. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth.
Therefore, you're the only ones that I ever communicated with, all the families of the earth. Then what?
Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities.
God will punish you? Yes, he does punish people. He certainly does. He's punished people ever since Adam and Eve, and ever since the devil and his angels. And he's still in the same business. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does the same thing today as he did back then. Do you think he's going to let this generation of people off the hook, as evil as they are? You're out of your mind. And what the word of God plainly tells us, even in the book of Revelation, how he's going to destroy this earth soon. And he's doing a very good job of it lately, of putting pestilence on people, AIDS and all this. The Lord has done that because of your sins. And then we're supposed to have sympathy for our people when God himself doesn't have sympathy on them. We have sympathy enough to preach the gospel to them, because if they'd get saved, then God would heal them. But they won't. They reject his word. They reject his salvation. They reject his healing. And so they deserve whatever they themselves have chosen to deserve. They've chosen themselves to die and go to hell and the lake of fire. Then what?
Commentary, verse 1 through 2. Listen to this message that the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel and Judah, the entire family I rescued from Egypt. Quote, from among all the families on the earth, I chose you alone. That is why I must punish you for all your sins. End quote.
Well, what's the big deal about him? Because when God Almighty chooses a nation, and he has a holy nation now that's supposed to be holy, but a whole lot of them are going to accept Satan rather as God rather than God. And so those are, there's no forgiveness for in this world or in the world to come. You choose to just keep your own mind, and God will despise you. He hates you people that despise the godly people. And if, when God hates you, you're really hated. First class. Then what?
Witnesses against guilty Israel.
That's a header. Witnesses against guilty Israel. Okay, now, subject matter.
King James Version, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Commentary, verse 3. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction?
Yeah. I want to go south and you want to go north. We can't walk together, amen? Because you're going north and I'm going south, amen?
Amen.
You can't walk together if you don't agree on what direction you're going to go, right?
Right.
That's not togetherness. That's going the opposite directions. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 4. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing?
Well, the Lord is talking about himself. He's crying out to people. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah, because he has you as his prey. Okay? This is not just talking about, you know, little rhymes and so on. Will a lion roar in the thicket if he doesn't have some prey, something that he caught? Well, the Lord has caught the entire world in its sin, and he's roaring right now. And you can't escape him. It's worse than being caught by a lion, a regular lion, a worldly lion. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 4. Does a lion ever roar in a thicket without first finding a victim? Does a young lion growl in its den without first catching its prey?
No, it doesn't growl. You know, when they growl when they got something to eat. And God's going to consume people and say, well, you know, you've heard people make fun of that. But he's not going to be funny when you're dancing in hell because of the flames and in the lake of fire. You say, well, you're just trying to scare us. I'm not saying these things. The Lord is. And if you think that he's just trying to scare you, no, he's warning you that he's really going to do it. And he has destroyed lots of cities, and he has whipped AIDS and Ebola and all sorts of things, and earthquakes in divers places all over the earth, and has slaughtered millions upon millions of people because of their sins. So it's not just me trying to scare you, idiot. If you had half a brain, you'd know that this is not just talk. This is God talking. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 5. Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take...
Okay, read that on my commentary.
Okay. Commentary, verse 5. Does a bird ever get caught in a trap?
If there isn't any bait in the trap. Okay?
Yes.
There has to be baited. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord baits people. He tells you, okay, here's what you can do and here's what you can't do. And if you go for the bait, you say, well, God doesn't really mean what he says. And you go for it, you know, for something that he says for you not to do, and you do it, you're caught in the trap. All right? Whether you like it or not. All right, then what else?
King James Version, verse 5. Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all?
Yeah, does somebody set a trap? And will the trap go off? if something doesn't make it go off. Amen?
Amen.
Right? Yes. Something has to step in the trap first, right?
Amen.
Go ahead.
A commentary, verse 5. Does a trap ever spring shut when there's nothing there to catch?
No. Some idiot animal or something has to step into it first, right?
Right.
So, in other words, God is saying, you people are stepping into it, even when I've warned you, you're still doing the things that I tell you not to do. And so, I have you. I mean, there's something to trap. I've got you. And he says, I'm not the... There's a lot of people that say, God doesn't say, I got you. But he's saying it right here. Amen?
Amen.
So, I wouldn't listen to those people that say that. Because he says, if you sin, he's got you. All right? And he doesn't want you to do that. But if you do, he's got you. All right?
Mm.
Then what?
King James Version, verse 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it?
should I destroy? Should a city be destroyed, and I haven't planned it? Every city that's destroyed, I planned it, God's saying. He brags about it. Amen?
Amen.
If Los Angeles has a big earthquake and it falls into hell, I planned that. Amen?
Amen.
And over there in Bogota, Colombia, or over in where they had these big earthquakes where over 1 million people were killed, God planned that. He doesn't want anybody else to be blamed for that. He did it, he says. Okay, now the commentary, read it.
Verse 6. When the war trumpet blows, shouldn't the people be alarmed?
Yeah, if somebody was shooting cannons off around your house, and wouldn't you be alarmed a little bit?
Yes.
When you hear the trumpet and they're playing, you know, these boots are made for walking, and magnifying a bunch of rabbits getting slaughtered, like they did over at Waco, these weasels. But God has got the same thing going for them. Amen?
Amen.
They're going to get theirs. Mr. Clinton and Janet Reno and all the people that partook in that, they're going to get theirs. And I've heard that many of those people are already dead. And look at how God shamed Clinton before the whole world. Amen?
Amen.
And Janet Reno, the lesbian, she's through. I mean, she's through. She's finished. But it's not finished yet. When she stands judgment for slaughtering those people over there, God is going to slaughter her and all those other people. And many of the people that were in on that raid have already been killed in gun battles and everything else, and their souls are in hell. All right, then what?
Commentary, verse 6. When disaster comes to a city, isn't it because the Lord planned it?
Yes, it is because the Lord planned it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, that's from the Hebrew. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets.
Yeah, surely the Lord is not going to do anything unless he first tells his servants, the prophets, so we can warn the people of all these cities and the people in, you know, little towns like Dyer, Arkansas, and everywhere. We warn you first. So the Lord says, I'm going to do it, so that's why I send prophets to tell you that I'm going to do it, in hopes that you'll repent, because surely I'm going to do it, and you're going to be burnt and burnt to a crisp forever. Okay, now read it.
Commentary, verse 7. But always, first of all, I warn you through my servants, the prophets. I, the sovereign Lord, have now done this.
See, this is the true personality of the Lord, isn't it?
Yes.
This is coming right from the Bible, right?
Amen.
So he's a good God. He warns you. If I tell you, don't go out on the freeway with the blindfold on, or don't go out on the freeway and play jacks, you know, or some other game, or Monopoly or something like that where it's a busy freeway, because you're liable to have tire tracks all up and down your back. Amen?
Amen.
And over the top of your head. All right, so the thing to do is, like, heed my warning. Don't go out there and do that. Okay, well, this is the same thing the Lord is trying to get through people's skulls and into their spirits. Amen?
Amen.
He warns you first, so it's not a bad God that warns you, and then you just thumb your nose at him and then go out and do what he says that you're going to get destroyed for, and then you wonder why he destroys it. Then you say it was Mother Nature that did it when he said in the first place, I'm going to do it. Don't blame Mother Nature, because there's nobody by that name. That's just a figment of you Gentiles' imagination. God is the God of nature. Amen?
Amen.
So he doesn't like being be called Mother, all right? Amen. He's the Father of all things, the Creator of all things. So, you know, you be the Mother, okay? But he's not. All right, what else?
King James Version, verse 8. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy?
So he's saying if the Lord, if a lion's roaring, that means he's got something. He's got a victim, amen?
Amen.
And what was the second part of that?
The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy?
Yeah, in other words, the Lord has said these things to me, Amos says. So woe be unto me, like Paul said. He's saying the same thing Paul said. Woe be unto me if I don't tell the people. All right?
Yes.
Well, you understand the Bible a little better and
yes.
A little personality of God here?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 8. The lion has roared. Tremble in fear! Exclamation mark.
Yeah, you're supposed to fear God. You're supposed to serve him with fear and trembling, okay?
Amen.
Not just reverence. Right?
Right.
Fear and trembling. You know, like people in the Bible have done, they feared so much that their knees smote against one another, and they went to the bathroom in their pants. They needed a diaper change. But they really didn't, because they died right afterwards. He frightens people. He's a terrorist. He's the terrorist of terrorists. Number one, because when he kills you, you go to hell too. You don't just get dead. You spend an eternity screaming your stinking head off. Okay, then what else?
Commentary, verse 8. The sovereign Lord has spoken. I dare not refuse to proclaim his message.
Well, woe be unto me if I proclaim not this message, Paul said. And Amos says the same thing right there, amen, in the Old Testament.
Amen.
Well before the Apostle Paul was ever thought of by people, but the Lord knew about him before the foundation of the world, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 9. Publish in the palaces at Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt.
In other words, tell every one of these people what I'm going to do. Publish it. That's where we put out tracts, literature. Amen?
Amen.
To tell people what's going to happen to them and what's going on. Because you people don't, you're not into knowing what the haps are. You keep saying later with the happenings. But no, it's now is what's happening. And you have to hear the Lord and repent. So that you can be saved. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, I warn you. And if I'm saying it to you, then, you know, we prophesy. That must mean that we're prophets. Amen? Because we're warning the people. So few will do it because they like to be the friends of people. But in reality, they're enemies because they don't warn you. My God, if you see somebody headed for disaster, you want to warn them. And the Lord sends us to warn you. Which means he's a good God. Amen?
Amen.
Because he's going to do what he said. Mark my word and mark his word. Then what?
King James Version, verse 9. Publish in the palaces at Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof.
Yeah, and look down at the oppressed, and look what I do. Sit up there like Jonah did on the hills and on the mountains, and look down and see the disaster. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 9. Announce this to the leaders of Philistia and Egypt. Quote, take your seats now on the hills around Samaria and witness the scandalous spectacle of all Israel's crimes. End quote.
Right, and also the destruction of it. Look at, get a bird's eye view, a God's eye view of this scene down here. Look at them laughing and joking and jiving when the Lord's coming back to earth, and they don't care one minute about praying, about souls to be saved, or about God to win souls or to destroy the people. That's what he's going to do. We don't have to tell him to do that. He said he's going to do it already. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
King James Version, verse 10. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Commentary, verse 10. Quote, my people have forgotten what it means to do right, says the Lord. end quote. Their fortresses are filled with wealth taken by theft and violence.
In other words, they think that they are fortified because they got money. Well, I'll destroy their money and burn it. They won't have a penny, and they won't even have any breath in their bodies anymore. And they won't even be able to control where I send them. They'll send themselves to hell, and that's where they're going. And the lake of fire. Then what?
King James Version, verse 11. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled.
He's saying this to the wealthiest nation back there. Well, they were in the land of milk and honey. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 11. Therefore, quote, says the sovereign Lord, an enemy is coming, exclamation mark.
Yeah, and the Lord is leading them there. Right?
Amen.
He's going to lead all the enemies of Israel he's going to hook them in their nose and in their jaw and pull them over there against Israel so that he can slaughter them. God gets all the fun. So we're not allowed to touch him, you know, to lay a finger on him. He has to do it. He wants to, you know. God has to have a recreation, amen?
Amen.
To destroy sinners and the evil, wicked, rotten people, their souls on this earth today. And down throughout history, he's done it. He's never changed. Read the book of Revelation and see what he does to the world. This is right here the day we're living in, and even the future. The future doesn't look good for sinners, unrepentant sinners. Doesn't look good at all. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 11. Therefore, quote, says the sovereign Lord, an enemy is coming, exclamation mark. He will surround them and shatter their defenses. Then he will plunder all their fortresses, end quote.
Shatter all their defenses, that means he'll wipe out their armies, he'll wipe them out completely. All their defenses means A-L-L, everything. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
King James Version, verse 12. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria, in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch.
Yeah. In other words, if a shepherd rescues one of their sheep out of the lion's mouth, all that's going to be there is a couple of legs and an ear. All right? And he says that's what it's going to be with these people, because all that's going to be there is a chair, a broken down chair, and a tattered pillow. That's all you'll have left. You can't sit on a broken down chair, and you don't want to sleep on a tattered pillow, do you?
No.
Okay, read it then.
Commentary, verse 12. This is what the Lord says, quote, a shepherd who tries to rescue a sheep from a lion's mouth will recover only two legs and a piece of ear.
Just a piece of an ear, not a whole ear. Huh? Then what?
So it will be when the Israelites in Samaria are rescued with only a broken chair and a tattered pillow.
That's all they're going to have. Just take our broken chair and go with our little tattered pillow. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 13. Hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts. Commentary, verse 13. Now listen to this and announce it throughout all Israel, quote, says the Lord God Almighty. King James Version, verse 14. That in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. Commentary, verse 14. On the very day I punish Israel for its sins.
Punish? Well, God is a God of punishment? Well, you better believe it. All of God's ways are judgment. He didn't change his personality and turn into like a whimpering, simpering homosexual because you said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, wash all my sins away in your blood. He says, okay, now go and sin no more or a worse thing will happen unto you. He says, now deny yourself daily and take up the cross, your cross daily, and carry it, because if you don't walk that straight and narrow line, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Many walk the broad way of destruction. There's 150 million ways to go into hell, but there's only one way to get into heaven, and that's the straight and narrow, sinless, spotless, wrinkleless way. Only one way. One. Uno. Okay? Uno way. Or un way. Right?
Amen.
But there's lots of ways to go to hell. The devil will give you a 150, forget about 31 flavors. He'll give you 100,031 flavors. Anything you want that you go to cause you to go to hell, or kill you, or destroy you. There's so many choices, but there's only one choice, and God gives you a choice that you can't refuse. You either do it His way or go to hell, and that's the deal. God's a Jewish God. He makes deals with you. He says, live. He says, here's the way to live. Now you do anything else, and you die, and you go to hell. You say, yes, clear, isn't it? You got it? You got it? Hmm? Yes. Okay, they all said yes. I hope you do too, the listener of this tape. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Commentary verse 14. On the very day I punish Israel for its sins, I will destroy the pagan altars at Bethel.
I will destroy it. God says yes. He's a God of destruction. Amen?
Amen.
He says, I kill. I make alive. I do both things. You know, don't limit me to just, I'm just love, 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 love. I think everything I do is love, even when I kill evil people. That's love. At least it's love to those that the evil people are oppressing. Amen?
Amen.
When they're done away with. But like I said, God gets all the fun. We cannot do one thing. We're fighting a spiritual war with spiritual weapons, not carnal weapons. The unsaved people use carnal weapons, guns and bullets and tanks and things like that. Okay, then what?
Commentary verse 14. Horns of the altar will be cut off and fall to the ground.
Right, there will be no mercy seat where you can grab onto the horns of the altar. There will be no mercy. Okay? The mercy seat, forget it. He breaks the mercy seat for people like that. There's no mercy. Those that sow no mercy shall reap no mercy. That's one of the Lord's sayings. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
King James Version, verse 15. And I will smite the winter house with the summer house.
Yeah, in other words, all you rich people, you've got the winter house. You know, they're your beautiful winter houses and your beautiful summer houses, you know, your wealth. And here you go back to it, and there's nothing there anymore, because the Lord destroys all your worldly goods, is what He's saying. Then what? Let's read it again.
And I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord.
Yeah, the mansions, the grande mesure particulière, as they say in French, the mansions. You, all you rich folks, that you've got your house filled full of elephant tusks, ivory. What good is an elephant tusk going to do you? God's going to burn them up. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, read it now. Commentary.
Commentary verse 15. And I will destroy the beautiful homes of the wealthy, their winter mansions and their summer houses too, all their palaces filled with ivory. I, the Lord, have spoken! Exclamation mark.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and that was chapter 3, and I pray that you know the true personality of the Lord a little bit better, because He says the same thing in Revelation in the New Testament all the way through. It even gets amplified in the New Testament, because He's going to shake the earth. He's going to move it off its axis. It's going to reel to and fro like a drunkard. The mountains are going to sink down into the earth. The hills are going to sink down into the earth. He's going to burn the Antichrist. He's going to send a meteorite down so big that it's going to cause a tidal wave around 1,500 miles. Like, in other words, beachfront property will probably be in Kansas, all right, instead of L.A. L.A. will be covered up, or New York. And the world isn't going to look the same no more, okay? And the sky is not going to look the same no more. He's going to darken the sun and the moon. Moon's going to turn to blood, The Bible says, turn to blood. And there's one interpretation that says, to the color of blood, but no, the Bible's, all the real, authentic translations say it's going to turn to blood. And I saw, God showed me a vision with my eyes wide open, and it was the actual moon. And I saw it moving all the way around the ship real fast. And then I was asking questions, and when I answered it, it turned red and sunk right down beyond the hills. And that was one of the most frightening things I've ever seen. And so I know that he plays with the moon like it's nothing. He can turn that into blood and nothing flat. And the blood can drip down from the moon. He treats the moon as you would a pizza pie. Only you couldn't make a pizza pie a big blob of blood. But he can. He can do the whole moon and the universe and turn it into blood. All he has to do is say, be blood, and it's blood. Amen?
Amen.
All right, well, I pray that you enjoyed hearing about what the Lord is really like, and we're going to do more on this, God willing, and I know he is, on chapter 4, which we'll do tomorrow. Till then, God bless all of you very much. Praise the Lord.